This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Iranian president is dead. We'll talk about that tonight. Economic matters. Julie Kelly is here with Lawfare stuff, all that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, so the president of Iran died, and no one really understands the region. They have a president, they have a supreme leader. The supreme leader did not die, by the way, but the president did die. Apparently his helicopter crashed in the mountains. They couldn't get to him. Maybe wolves ate him. I don't know. That part of the story is really cool. I doubt it's true, but it would be friggin' sweet if it was. Anyway, we need to make sense of all this. What does it mean? Who done it? So on and so forth. So I don't know. I bet you Francis does, though. Let's talk to Francis Martel right now, Breitbart News International Editor. Okay, Francis, who was this guy? Why did he die? How did he die? Was it the Israelis?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is the Iranians haven't accused the Israelis, which is the first thing I expected them to do, and they didn't. So Ibrahim Raisi was the president of Iran since 2021. Had a very long storied career of butchery, of mass murdering political dissidents when he was a prosecutor approving executions. And as president, I think the single highlight of his presidential career was the Mahsa Amini incident and the subsequent protests. Mahsa Amini was a 22-year-old woman who was beaten to death because her hijab was slightly wrong. And there were protests. This was September 2022. There were protests for a good year and a half after that. The UN says over 500 people were killed under him just because of Mahsa Amini, not counting other executions and protests. So very brutal guy. And all we know about the airplane or the helicopter really is that he was traveling from Azerbaijan back into Iran. Weather was foggy, inclement. It's not really clear why they let him fly. And the helicopter crashed. And then yesterday we were told it was a quote unquote hard landing. And then today we wake up and everyone died because of the hard landing. So a lot of questions still out there.
Yeah, I guess hard can mean different things to different people. It must have been very, very hard. Okay. So what does this do with Iran's political situation? As you just mentioned, every time you turn on the news, there's some protest over there, and then the scumbags who run that country are killing everybody who's protesting in the streets. Are they going to want to take to the streets and cheer? Are they even allowed to cheer? Are there going to be new elections, and how fair are those going to be? What happens now?
Well, they're already handing out candies. There's already videos of fireworks in Tehran, people handing out candies and sweets. The Iranians are celebrating. Basically any Iranian with any platform has said this is a good thing. The real question here, though, is with these regimes, they're so deeply entrenched, getting rid of one guy is not going to really change anything. And especially when you have the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khomeini, he's still there. He's probably not going to be there for too long because, you know, he's 80-something. But he's still in charge. And so Rice is probably going to be replaced by another trusted official. It's going to be really hard to find someone with a record this bad of killing dissidents, someone this bloody to replace him, unless they go completely unprecedented and pick someone in the military to do it. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to find a quiet bureaucrat to take over until it all boils over. And then they're going to review their roster and see, you know, who's the best to helm Iran at this really difficult time for the regime.
Okay, so why is it a difficult time in the regime, Francis? Just because this guy died, or are they having real difficulty hanging on to power? It's been well known for the longest time that the Iranian people are quite unhappy. Are they hanging on by a string over there?
I think they are, but you know, the biggest saving grace is that there is no organized led opposition. There's no opposition leader who's charismatic and trying to take over the government. Obviously, the opposition is not armed. So we've seen a lot of instances, you know, in China. There's been protests for years in China. There's been protests for years in Cuba. Basically, all these regimes have the same situation where the majority of the public hates them, but they have no way, because of the repression, they have no way of arming themselves or organizing. So the big issue here, I think, is more of a internal Game of Thrones thing, where we don't know exactly who within the remaining top level of officials is going to want the presidency, whether they're going to fight each other. And then there's all this external pressure because of the post-October 7th scenario. You know, Hamas is very directly funded by Iran. Iran is the leading voice for global terrorism and for genocide against Israel. And that's a big crown to wear, you know, a dark one, but a big one. And so if you have your top officials kind of vying for power and more invested in that than in the unity of the global jihadist movement, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, you're going to have friggin' problems. Okay, let's switch gears a little bit here, Francis, while I have you. Putin and Xi met last week. I'm worried. How worried should I be?
I think it's business as usual, but the biggest concern for me is this was all business. This was all economic. We know that China and Russia are geopolitically very close, but what they're basically trying to do is to create a parallel economic universe where the U.S. dollar doesn't matter. And they really are advancing on that front. You know, I think Putin said over 90% of business between China and Russia is done in either yuan or rubles. And so if the dollar loses its power, obviously that's a huge concern for us, for our economy, but also geopolitically, what does that mean for the entire concept of sanctions, right? If you can impose sanctions on these countries for how whatever reason you want to, and they have no effect because they have this parallel set of institutions, then you're going to have a much harder time driving your foreign policy agenda as, you know, a country in the West.
Francis, I have a very hard time picturing Vladimir Putin as the little brother in any relationship, but economically, there is no comparison between a nation like China and a nation like Russia. I realize China has many of their own problems as well, but what is this relationship like?
Well, I think a big issue here is that China is by far the bigger economy, but China has a very big weakness, which is it has no oil. And it can refine, but it can't refine as much as it needs. And obviously, there's tremendous demand for oil in China. And so China's trying to break through that by dominating electric vehicle batteries, solar panels, all the green stuff. But that's never going to be enough, or, you know, at least not in the near future, to undo the fact that they have no oil and not really much natural gas. And so that's where Russia can come in. And if they don't, you know, in a way, Russia has this dominant position economically of, they have oil, they have gas, and so they can provide the one big missing link, but they can't provide much else, right? The Russian economy is pretty slow. Geopolitically, you know, Russia is, its alliances are with very weak countries. Its closest allies are, you know, Niger and Cuba and Burkina Faso. Like, those are not the best friends you could possibly have on the world stage. And so they are trying to complement each other, but obviously, the tremendous advantage that China has economically is always going to cast a shadow over that relationship.
Yeah, I figured it would. Francis, you are the best. Come back soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to talk next about where we're at, what it's like to watch what's happening right now. Maybe a little bit stressful, but I think it's probably time we talk about it. And look, if you get stressed, it's not a problem because you're still going to sleep tonight. You know why I know you're still going to sleep tonight? Because you've already bought your dream powder from Beam, right? I tell you about it all the time. This stuff is freaking amazing. It's no drugs or anything like that. I have the chocolate cinnamon one. I warm it up in a little glass of milk and sip it before bed. It's like cinnamon hot chocolate. It's delicious. It's all natural, but you just sleep like the dead. And here's the best part. It's not the sleep. There's a million things you can take to sleep. You don't wake up feeling like garbage, all groggy and half dead. They did some clinical trial. 93% of people said it helped them sleep. 93%. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. Go get some dream powder. That gets you 40% off. So go now. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's difficult watching what we're watching right now, isn't it? I find it difficult. Do you, and I've talked to you about this before, I've been very honest with you that especially recently, probably the last year or so, I've been taking it home with me more than I normally do, letting it affect my mood, everything we're seeing happening to the country right now. And here's how I feel, just being honest, here's how I feel. I'm hyper-informed. You are hyper-informed. We are the people who seek out information. We want to know who's in power, who wants power, what do they want, why do they want it, what are the issues that matter, how do we solve these issues. You're here watching I'm Right. You could be watching anything right now. You're watching I'm Right. You're someone who seeks out information. So you are so much more informed than the rest of the population. And that sucks, actually. I mean, I'm happy for you. Good for you. Good for me. But it sucks that we're constantly knowing what's happening, knowing what to do to solve it. And we look around and there's no one behind us. There's no one with us. They're 10 miles behind us. It's frustrating. And here's how I feel. I feel like we're watching it come apart on us. No, I'm not saying America's going to end tomorrow. I'm not doing that kind of doomsday stuff. I'm really genuinely not. But, you know, empires rise and fall. We've talked about it a bunch. Empires rise and empires fall. Nothing lasts forever. And it feels as if we're in some portion of the fall phase, probably the beginning, I mean, who knows? Maybe the middle. Maybe we will all collapse tomorrow. But either way, we're definitely not in the beginning, are we? Certainly not in our peak. We're watching it end. Doesn't that suck? I didn't even want to say it. We're watching it end. It sucks. It hurts me. And you know what else hurts me? And then this is probably selfish. But I'm thinking about being blamed for all this. You, me, all of us who live in this time. You see, have you ever studied the fall of empires? Read a book about it, listened to a documentary, watched a movie that was based on, you know, the fall, the coming apart of empires? You always look at the people and the people who led the country at the time. And I don't know about you, but I look at the people and I want to shake them. I want to go back in history and shake them awake and say, can't you see what's happening? Wake up, do something. But you can't. And as much as we yell and scream, it's difficult to wake us up now. Look at the things we've done to ourselves. Do you remember? I want you to remember something. Don't ever let this go. Don't ever let this go. Do you remember social distancing? Do you remember social distancing? Now, I know you know the term, and I know you remember what it was, but I want you to just pause for a moment here, and I want you to remember all the things that resulted from the idea, from the concept of social distancing, that we should just reorder all of society, and everybody just stand 6 feet apart. Social distancing was the reason you had to close your business. The reason we lost one-third of the family businesses in this country. Bye-bye, gone forever, social distancing. Social distancing was the justification for closing your child's school. The reason Aiden, Jaden, and Braden are now behind in things like reading and math is because of the concept of social distancing. Social distancing was the reason you had to stand on the little footprints in the grocery store. You remember that, don't you? Social distancing was the justification for virtually every COVID policy that destroyed this country, destroyed our mental health, destroyed our economy in permanent ways, ways we will never recover from, destroyed our youth, destroyed so much of the country. Social distancing. NIH director, former NIH director Francis Collins just testified that there was no science supporting it. We reordered all of American society and destroyed ourselves in ways history will look back on and they'll want to shake us awake. And we did it over nothing. We have some of the authors of that insane policy. You remember Scott Gottlieb? He went on camera and flat out said, I mean, we just kind of made it up.
The initial recommendation that the CDC brought to the White House, and I talk about this, was 10 feet. And a political appointee in the White House said, we can't recommend 10 feet. Nobody can measure 10 feet. It's inoperable. Society will shut down. So the compromise was around 6 feet.
Yeah. And it's not just COVID. It's not just COVID. COVID was a very revealing moment for me when I watched all of America just kind of accept it. Okay, I mean, we'll go home. Can I have a stimmy check? What about my Netflix? That's still turned on, right? I'll remember that till the day I die. I remember the insanity, you and me sitting there screaming at everybody, wake up! But I remember it. I remember the St. George Floyd stuff. Believe me, history will look back on that as well. Some piece of trash drug dealer from Minneapolis has a heart attack, has an overdose on drugs. That's according to their own medical examiner. He overdoses on drugs. A cop is doing a technique on the man at the time that was trained into him by the Minneapolis Police Department. The cop is currently in prison where he'll probably die. He's already been stabbed there once. And the rest of the United States of America, in response to this, got gaslit into torching American cities. People died, businesses, money lost. Race relations irreparably broken in the country. And there's been no public backlash or reckoning for the people who did it. To this day, the president of the United States of America feels completely comfortable standing up in front of the American people and bragging about it.
I stood up for George with George Floyd's family to help create a country. We don't need to have that talk with your son or grandson as they get pulled over.
After the historic movement for justice in the summer of 2020, I signed the most significant police reform executive order in history. We didn't get the law passed, but guess what? I did it by executive order, significant part.
There's been no public backlash, so the man whose approval ratings are in the toilet still feels comfortable bragging about it. And look, when we look back on the end, we won't, you and me, the historians will write the books on it, but it won't just be, you know, a bunch of Democrats they're blaming for it. It'll be the pathetic ineptness, oftentimes the complicity of the GOP. The GOP helped author every destructive policy we have, from COVID lockdowns to, well, you know, you remember St. George Floyd and all the madness then. We have cops being assassinated now, NYPD at its lowest level since 1990, crime running rampant in the big cities. All this began with the St. George Floyd riots. And at the beginning of the St. George Floyd riots, the GOP was right there cheering them on.
Communities of color and people like myself, I've told my story several times, stopped seven times in 1 year. That has been said a lot, but I was stopped this year driving while black when I got a warning ticket for failing to use my turn signal earlier in my lane change. And so this issue continues, and that's why it's so important for us to say that we hear you. We're listening to your concerns. The George Floyd incident certainly accelerated this conversation, and we find ourselves at a place with a package that I think speaks to the families that I spoke with yesterday who lost loved ones. We hear you. I think this package speaks very clearly to the young person who's concerned when he's stopped by the law enforcement officers. We see you.
Man, how pathetic are we? All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We're going to talk about some economic matters with Peter St. Ange next. Before we get to Peter, I want to talk to you about the timeshare you think you're stuck in. You're not. You believe you are, but you're not. Timeshare companies lie. They get you in. They don't tell you that you're going to be stuck in it for life. And, you know, they let you sign all the contract paperwork. And then some years later, after you've enjoyed yourself, you're done with it. You think you're going to give it back. You tell them you want to give it back. And they say, sorry, you're in here forever. Lone Star Transfer doesn't buy that. They're not playing that game. This family business has been getting people out legally and permanently out of their timeshares. I mean, my goodness, over 20,000 of them now. They're successful 99% of the time. They put it in writing. They'll tell you, we'll get you out. They give you a time frame in writing. Stop calling the timeshare company. Stop emailing the timeshare company. Put that away. Make a different phone call. Call Lone Star Transfer. Let them set you free. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Our economy and people's paychecks are growing, and our nation is headed in the right direction thanks to his work.
Well, that's pretty much the worst person on the face of the planet. That is Gretchen Whitmer, known as Governor Ratchet on this show. I'm still just, sometimes it just irks me that that woman got reelected handily in the state of Michigan. What are you doing, Michigan? Anyway, joining me now, Peter St. Ange of the wonderful Heritage Foundation, economist. Peter, so how great is this booming economy doing after we locked down the country and social distancing and printed trillions of dollars? And so how are we doing now, Peter?
Yeah, it's not doing as well as you might expect. You know, the government statistics look fantastic. The finest statisticians money can buy, or tax money anyway. And, you know, we've got the headline numbers, the ones that she's bragging about there, Governor Ratchet, those look fantastic, right? You've got falling inflation. You've got historic lows on unemployment. You got slowing, but, you know, still there, GDP growth. Of course, the thing is, once you dig into those numbers, every single one of those things is fake. You've got GDP is driven by $2 trillion in deficits. Right, a lot of this is to buy white elephants. You remember Solyndra back during Obama when taxpayers got fleeced? I think it was $200 million back then. Of course, the number's a lot bigger now. So the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, which was Build Back Better, right? They literally just renamed it. You can see it in the congressional log. All right, so that was just a huge handout to green lobbyists. That's going to be about $1 trillion. Guarantee you there are going to be tens of billions, if not hundreds of billions, that are going to go bust, all that on the taxpayer dime. So that GDP number, that's not measuring us getting rich. That's measuring the fleecing, the raiding of the treasury and handing it out to these rich lobbyists. You take the jobs numbers, the unemployment numbers there, we've got over, what, about 6 to 7.5 million Americans who dropped out of the workforce around COVID. Either they were discouraged or they went on government benefits. Government benefits went up $800 billion a year during COVID, and they stayed up, right? The pandemic is over, by all accounts. Even Ratchet would agree the pandemic is over, but we are stuck with that $800 billion forever. So you drive around the cities in America, and you see all these people bent over with the fentanyl or, you know, living in their mom's basement playing Assassin's Creed, and you say, how can we have a 3.9% unemployment? I see a lot of people who don't have jobs. That's right. They're not in the labor force. They're not counted. If you are discouraged, if you've given up on life, if you're out on the street, you're not unemployed. You may as well be retired for a government statistician. And then finally, you got the inflation. Right, so inflation was coming down because the supply chain wound down because the Fed stopped printing money hand over fist. And it did come down for a little while, but last October, it touched 1% annualized on inflation. All right, and since then, every single month, it's been marching up 2, 3, 4, 5. So this point, we're at 6.2% annualized. That's for business inflation, PPI. We're at about 4% on consumer and rising. So inflation is coming back. They got the freebie, partly from the lockdowns ending, partly from the supply chains easing, partly from the world economy slowing. That makes oil prices come down. So they got all these transitory freebies, if you will. And now, as Warren Buffett says, now the tide goes out, we see who's swimming without a suit. Now we're seeing the real durable inflation. This is looking permanent.
Yeah. Well, Peter, that was all pretty much horrific because that was exactly what I thought was happening. Now, I'm going to put this in the most layman terms possible because I'm an idiot, and you just tell me if I'm wrong. What it seems to me is the people who are in charge, all the elites now, whoever they may be, however you want to classify that, they're blood-sucking the last of the money out of the Treasury. They're doing everything they possibly can to lie to the American public about what they're doing so they can sail off into the sunset with the last of our gold when we go down in flames. Do I have that about right?
You have that absolutely right. And, you know, traditionally in America, we've had a relationship with our government where it's a parasite, but we can still get by, right? They still make sure the dishes are washed and they pay the electric bill and whatnot, right? Terrible roommate, but anyway, we can survive. What's happened since COVID is that government has turned into a predator now, right? They're putting out these lobbyist-funded regulations, you know, trying to wipe out entire domestic industries, just hand over to China, who cares? Because once somebody goes on welfare, they are a reliable left-wing voter. They're obedient. They do what they're told, right? They want us to be, frankly, slaves. They do not want us to have businesses, to be entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are the worst thing for big government, right? Entrepreneurs care about the future of the country. They have the means to do something about it. They're independent-minded. They want to convert all that into, at best, you know, just employees of a big company, but really what they're pushing is that everybody just goes on government benefits. And of course, these guys, they're socialists. They have no idea how the economy works. They don't understand that government doesn't actually have any money. It produces nothing. Everything government has was stolen. It was either stolen in taxes, it was stolen in inflation. They don't understand what the end game here. And of course, the end game is poverty across the entire country.
Peter, you have a video out talking about the housing market and how bad it really is. You touched on it a little bit. How bad is it? Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir for everyone out there searching for one right now, but tell us how bad it is.
Yeah, it's rough. You know, during COVID, we had a perfect storm. So home prices soared. That was because the Fed printed so much money. Mortgage rates went up. They went from, what, 3% to 7% to 8%. That was because the Fed tried to fix all the money it printed. And then the inflation bleeds through to everything, right? So your property taxes go up in lockstep with your home price. If you're planning to live in your house, all right, if you're not actually looking to move, if you like where you live, it's a problem when your home price goes up because that means your taxes go up now. Even if you sell your house, you gotta, you know, you bought the house for $400,000, now it's $1 million. Okay, but you gotta live somewhere. And the somewhere also went up in price, right? Then you got insurance exploding, you got all these costs going up. And what you're seeing that now is that young people are giving up, right? Millennials, forget Gen Z, they're not building a future. They're not even bothering. They're doom spending. They're going on 3-day, you know, Caribbean vacations. They have a dime to their name, right? Previous generations, they'd be building up for down payment on the house so they could have a family. These guys now are just living for the day because the problem is they look at the way they grew up, right? They had two parents living in a house that their parents actually owned with like 3 bedrooms. This is just science fiction to them. This is like, you know, some movie of some bygone era. They cannot imagine how they could possibly get to that point. So for the median house in America right now, you need to make 6 figures to get qualified for a loan. That's for the median house. That is not for a glamorous house, that's median. If you're a millennial, and you're cobbling together shifts down at Panera, 6 figures, that ain't gonna happen for a while. By the time that happens, you are not gonna be building a family. You're gonna be in your 30s.
God, have mercy. All right, Peter, before I let you go, what does keep me up at night for the little I really truly understand of it is the world walking away from the dollar. While I understand this is not something that's about to happen tomorrow, I'm not naive. It does seem like with what we're doing by destroying the value of it, it seems like we're accelerating that end, aren't we?
Yeah, that's one of the big debates right now. Balaji Srinivasan, who's a great voice on Twitter, he just came out with something today talking about that. You know, traditionally, the U.S. government had a very strong goal to protect the value of the dollar, right? That was the so-called petrodollar. And what it's starting to look like is that the government is almost trying to sabotage the dollar. Now, there's logic to that, right? If they sabotage the dollar, then it makes it cheaper to make stuff in America. So because the government has made it so expensive to make anything here between regulations and taxes and mandates and the rest, they can try to reverse some of that damage by gutting the dollar, making the dollar really cheap. So, you know, of course, that bankrupts us. That's throwing away our national wealth. But that's one way to hide the damage that they've done so far. So, you know, JP Morgan just came out with a report warning about that, that the dollar share of international reserves, that's what central banks hold in other countries, that's collapsing. It's now 58%. It used to be in the 70s or the 80s. If you include gold in that, we're actually below half at this point. Now, where is all that money going? A lot of it is actually going into gold. So gold has absolutely exploded on central bank balance sheets. If gold were a currency, which it should be, it would be the number two in the world right now, just behind the dollar. So we have these big shifts moving. And if you look at what the Biden administration is doing about it, if anything, they're accelerating it. They just went to seize Russia's central bank dollars. Good fun. They're in a war, whatnot. The problem is that put every country on earth on notice that the dollar is a politically risky thing to own. So all these countries, Indonesia, Brazil, countries that don't have a beef with us, they're getting off the dollar now because you never know when some activist is going to get pissed off at your LGBT policies and you're going to have trouble with the Biden administration. He's already done that in Africa. He's threatened sanctions against Uganda for their laws to do with LGBT. Uganda is a conservative place. Anyway, if you look at what the administration is actually doing, for the first time, I think, in my lifetime, they are not trying to protect the dollar. It almost looks like they are trying to gut it on purpose.
Jeez. Peter, I hate when you join us. Please come back soon, though, because we do get so much smarter. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. All right. We got Julie Kelly coming next. She's going to update us on some lawfare things. Before Julie, let's talk about something wonderful. We need something good right now. I need good in my life right now. Let's talk about Blackout Coffee. It's the best. I don't know what I like best about Blackout Coffee. The flavor, the fact that they deliver it to my front door, or their values. Blackout Coffee shares and promotes our values. Remember, culture is something that's created by all of us, including the corporations. It is a big deal that corporations in this country hate the country. Blackout Coffee does not. They will deliver the best coffee you've ever had in your life to your front door. A million different options, whether you like just straight black coffee like me or some cinnamon frou-frou stuff, whatever you happen to like. And the prices are amazing. Your first order is 20% off. Blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse gets you 20% off your first order. It's ridiculous. Go get some. You'll enjoy it. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
He calls the erectionists who stormed Capitol Hill patriots. Let me ask you, what do you think he would have done on January 6th if black Americans had stormed the Capitol? How can it be that any American president cannot denounce political violence? I know I can, I will, and I have. Political violence has no place in America, period.
Yes. All that unity, all that division. Got to stop demonizing each other. He loves to say that. Joining me now, my friend Julie Kelly. You need to subscribe to her Substack called Declassified. Julie, he does bring up a good point. As much as I dislike Joe Biden, imagine what would happen if some leftists attacked the Capitol. How severely they'd be treated. It'd be horrific, wouldn't it, Julie?
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, Jesse, just this over the weekend, I posted yet another double standard out of this Department of Justice where Matthew Graves, the DC U.S. attorney, gave a pro-Hamas protester 48 hours of community service for attacking two Capitol police officers, including a female, punching her in the face. This individual, because he's a Democratic Party activist and supported by Democrats, gets 48 hours of community service, not 48 months in jail, like J6ers who are accused of attacking police officers. So the double standard just never ends. And, you know, this is something that if Donald Trump wins, he's going to have to clean up per our conversation last time.
Tell us how the January 6th political prisoners are being treated, Julie. Can you give us an update on that? Surely, after all the publicity about the horrific conditions they're being kept in and how poorly Matthew Graves has been treating these people, surely the government has backed off, right?
Yes, of course they have. They're working hand in glove with defense attorneys and House Republicans to uncover examples of police and really jail guard abuse of J6ers. So today it was announced, I announced on Twitter, X, that House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, Representative Troy Nels are being stymied in their investigation of accusations of abuse by jail guards in D.C. against Ronald McAbee, who is a deputy sheriff in Tennessee. He was incarcerated, pretrial detention in the D.C. gulag for 2 years before he went to trial, Jesse. He didn't get 48 hours of community service. So House Republicans opening investigation, they want the body-worn camera footage of this D.C. gulag jail guard, Crystal Lancaster. They have been stymied in their efforts by the D.C. Department of Corrections, by D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, and even the U.S. Marshals Service, who refused to turn over that body-worn camera that shows this guard pepper spraying Ronald McAbee in the face repeatedly, then apparently throwing him in what they call the hole, solitary, so he continued to burn. And his crime, his offense, why she did this apparently, is because he took down his face mask to take medication that he needed on September 2022, if you can believe it or not, they were still required to wear face masks. So looking into more examples of jail abuse by jail guards against J6ers in Washington.
Well, I'm sure Merrick Garland is all over the abuse that's taking place underneath him and the DOJ. Here was Merrick Garland giving a little presser on how he's being held in contempt.
The Justice Department is a fundamental institution of our democracy. People depend on us to ensure that our investigations and our prosecutions are conducted according to the facts and the law and without political influence. We have gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure that the committees get responses to their legitimate requests. But this is not one. To the contrary, This is one that would harm our ability in the future to successfully pursue sensitive investigations. Now, there have been a series of unprecedented and frankly unfounded attacks on the Justice Department. This request, this effort to use contempt as a method of obtaining our sensitive law enforcement files is just the most recent.
Julie, Merrick Garland, does he have the authority to determine what is a legitimate request and what is not?
Well, apparently he does. And, you know, let's not forget, Jesse, the real victim in all this is Merrick Garland, right? He is the victim here. And then I love the reporter comes in and says, how do you deal with all of these attacks against the Justice Department? And, you know, he just shed a little tear and talked about the great men and women of the DOJ and what a hero he is. Now, what he's talking about there is House Republicans have subpoenaed the recorded interview, the audio version of the interview between Joe Biden and Special Counsel Robert Hur from last October. We have the transcript, allegedly what's supposed to be the transcript, but of course House Republicans want the audio version. And this is what Merrick Garland advised Joe Biden to invoke executive privilege to not to defy that subpoena. And that's what Merrick Garland is talking about there. How turning over a recorded interview of the president who's under investigation, how that thwarts, you know, this enshrined institution of our democracy, Jesse, the Department of Justice, we can't really get a good explanation, but it doesn't matter because DOJ is used to doing whatever they want, instituting and executing these double standards of justice, one set for Republicans, one for Democrats, including Joe Biden. And now I think there's going to be a big court fight to get that recorded interview since they already have released the written transcripts.
Julie, today was supposed to be the start of the Trump classified documents trial. Obviously, that didn't happen. Severely delayed, pretty much blown up. Is it blown up? Is that thing ever going to happen?
Yes, that case has imploded in many different directions, Jesse. And what Judge Aileen Cannon is starting, and I will be at the courthouse this Wednesday, is a series of mini trials of the Department of Justice and Special Counsel Jack Smith. So on Wednesday, there will be a hearing about Trump's co-defendant, Waltine Nauta, his longtime personal aide, who also was charged in this case, his motion to dismiss based on selective and vindictive prosecution. Then next month, there will be a series of hearings in her courtroom asking about the legitimacy of Special Counsel Jack Smith's appointment to begin with, and then 3 days of hearings that will further expose the collusion between the Biden White House, the National Archives, the DOJ, FBI, and other agencies to concoct some sort of documents case against Donald Trump. Judge Aileen Cannon truly doing the heavy lifting almost single-handedly, and really exposing the corruption, the sloppiness of this case, the dirtiness, and the prosecutorial abuse of Jack Smith and his prosecutor. So the tables have turned. That's why you see this, Jesse, has kind of disappeared from the headlines. You know, unless you're seeing some sort of call for Aileen Cannon's head and to recuse because of what she's doing, the media is kind of ignoring this case all of a sudden, which, you know, is supposed to be treason on the part of Donald Trump, hoarding nuclear secret material and maybe sharing it with our enemies. All of a sudden, because Judge Aileen Cannon is exposing what's happened in this investigation and case, it's really lost, the corporate media seems to have really lost interest in this.
Yeah, they sure did. You know, speaking of Jack Smith, a lot of people ask me why I don't call myself a Republican. I call myself an anti-communist. I want to thank Mike Johnson for this video because this is why. Here he was.
With regard to defunding Jack Smith, look, I think that there's been a terrible dereliction of duty with regard to the special counsel and how that how the whole system has been abused, how they've engaged in lawfare against President Trump. I mean, all of these things are, to me, self-evident truths. But that's not something you wave a wand and just eliminate the special counsel as a provision. It's been part of the law, you know, the tradition and the law here since for 25 years.
So are you prepared then to stick this into appropriations bills to defund the special counsel?
No.
Julie, if I had to define the Republican Party, It would honestly, I just play that audio right there. Here's a list of all the terrible things they're doing, and here's a list of all the reasons why I won't do anything to stop it. That's the GOP motto.
It's just stunning. And to, first of all, Mike Johnson has no idea what's going on in this case. If he did, he would have no basis of saying that there's no grounds to defund Jack Smith. As I wrote in my Substack last week, not only should he be defunded, he should face a congressional investigation, which they're starting to pick up some pieces of it. Of course, Jack Smith's confession a few weeks ago that they have mishandled and possibly misplaced key evidence in this investigation and prosecution. So why is Mike Johnson sitting there so sanctimoniously talking about dirty, corrupt Jack Smith and his prosecutors, but once again, Jesse, washing his hands of any responsibility or oversight or accountability of this rogue special counsel, and not only in this investigation, but of course the J6 one in Washington as well. That's why, again, have to commend Judge Cannon for single-handedly doing at least most of the work that House Republicans should be doing, including Mike Johnson, doing that really on her own and taking all the slings and arrows by the corporate media and Democrats while she is really the one doing all the heavy lifting and determined to bring transparency to this case so the American people can see exactly what has happened in this investigation for more than 2 years.
Gosh, yeah, Lord willing. Julie, you are the best. Come back soon. All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And one of the things that it brightens my mood at least briefly anymore is the absurdity of everything now, especially the people in charge. Remember, you should be mocking the powerful right now. When you have a country led by the dumbest, most corrupt, most selfish, depraved people on the planet, you should mock them every chance you get. Their idiocy, just every part of it. Remember during COVID, everyone was worried about COVID and the White House was pushing all this COVID panic. And Joe Biden got up sick as a dog and gave a speech.
You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-cop. You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-democracy. You can't be pro-insurrection and pro-American. Donald Trump lacked the courage to act. The brave women and men in blue all across this nation should never forget that.
Sounded so bad. I see them all.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship. I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.